The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a parsha or an entire sefer, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Parashas Naso contains the law of the Nazir. Isho isha ki afli lindar neder nazir lazir lashem. A man or a woman takes a vow of Naziris, he or she becomes bound by several prohibitions. First, miyayin v'shechar yazir, chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishteh, v'chol mishras anavim lo yishteh, v'anavim lachim v'yveshim lo yochel, kol yimei nizro, mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin, mechartanim v'adzog lo yochel. Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, not allowed to consume any other grape products. Second, kol yimei neder nizro, ta'ar lo yavar al rosho, not allowed to cut his hair with a razor. He has to let his hair grow. Third, tumas meis, not allowed to become tame to human remains. Kol yimei haziro lashem al nefesh meis lo yavo, leavivu limo, leachivu lachoso, lo yitama, lohem b'mosam. Why? Ki nezir elokov al rosho. Again, kol yimei nizro, kadoshu lashem. So as we've seen, the nazir is twice referred to as kadosh, as holy. Yet, in the continuation of the parasha, the Nazir is referred to as sinful, apparently. The Nazir brings a carbon chatas, both a Nazir Tahar, who finishes his Nazirus uneventfully. He brings carbonos, including v'chavsa achatz bat shnasach tmima l'chatas. He brings a female sheep for a chatas. And a Nazir Tameh, a Nazir who becomes Tameh during the term of his Nazirus, he becomes tamei to a mace. He has to bring karbanos. Here he brings shtei sorim or shnei bnei yonah, two birds. Echad l'chatas, one of them is a chatas. He has to start counting his nazirus again. And also he also brings a karban asham, vevi keves ben shnaso l'asham. Bayimim rishonim yipalu, he has to start counting again. He brings the chatas, the pasuk says, v'chiper alah me'asher chatal anefesh. The nazir has been chata, he has sinned al hanefesh, that's why he brings a chatas. So on the one hand, the Nazir is referred to as being holy, kadoshihiyah, kadoshu. On the other hand, he brings a chatas, whether his Nazir terminates uneventfully, whether he becomes tameh, and v'chiperalav, me'asher chata al hanefesh. He needs a kapara for the chait he committed al hanefesh. Is a Nazir holy? Is a Nazir sinful? Is a Nazir a good thing, an undesirable thing? This is a question which Rishonim and Chazal already have grappled with diametrically opposite perspectives. The Rishonim and Mefarshei Apshat are split on whether Nazirus is being portrayed as an admirable thing or a negative thing. The Ramban says, why does a Nazir bring a Karban Chatas? Lo nisparesh, the Torah doesn't say. When he becomes Tameh, that maybe we can understand. Why does he bring a chatas if he doesn't become Tameh? An uneventful termination of the Nazirus, lo nisparish. Valderach HaPshat, the Ramban says, Valderach HaPshat, he's alluding to Chazal, who have a different approach, which we'll discuss soon. But Valderach HaPshat, the Pshat explanation is, because the Nazir is a chote for going back to being a regular person. Nazirus is a great thing. He says, the Nazir, he has Kedusha, and he's engaged in Avodas Hashem. He should be a Nazir La'olam. He should remain Kaddish Le'elokav. It says in Amos, Va'akim and Mibreichem le'Neviim and Mibachureichem le'Nazirim. It's something we aspire to. And this person is relinquishing it. He's giving it up. He's going back to being a normal person. The Nazir is like a Navi. Kaddish Hu La'Hashem. And the Nazir is giving that up. He needs to bring a chatas to atone for the fact. Tzarech kapara b'shuvo lihitame b'taiva sa'olam. He needs a kapara for going back to being defiled with taiva, the taiva of this world. According to the Ramban, Nazirus is an ideal, and the Nazir actually has to atone for giving up his Nazirus. Rabbi An Shlomo Astruk, another one of the Rishonim, he says, what is the chait? The chait is he let his Yetzer Hara overpower him to the extent that he needs the strong medicine of Nazirus. He has to beat back his guf, his taiva. In order to do that, he has to give up wine, which is, wine is good, Misameach Elokim v'Anashim. Nazirus is not good. Nazirus is something, the person was forced into Nazirus by, it's a bidieved, he was forced into Nazirus by his lack of self-control, he let his tivus overpower him, and a person, that wine is good. Giving up wine, taking the strong medicine of Nazirus is undesirable, and that's why, that's the Asher Chata, the Nazirus is an unfortunate situation. Balei Tosfos, Ala Tera, take a third approach, Al Pi Pshat. They say that Chet is not Chet here at all. Chet doesn't mean sinful. Chet in Tanakh sometimes just means chesaron, something missing, that he's hechti as a nefesh, imanam and ayayin, he deprived himself of wine. It means deprivation. Balei Tosfos say this is like Chazal, that I actually call it a chet, because tziratim and ayayin, we'll discuss Chazal's approach soon, but the Balei Tosfos suggests that the chet here doesn't really mean chet in the religious, theological sense of sin. Chet means lack, deprivation. So the Rishonim are taking different positions as to what exactly is the chet of Nazirus. The famous discussion is that of Chazal. The Gemara in Bava Kamma brings a brisa. It says, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Berebi, he says, what does the Torah mean when it says, V'chiper la me'asher chata l'nefesh? He's not discussing the basic fact of bringing carbon chattas, that maybe there are other ways to understand, but what is this language of V'chiper la me'asher chata l'nefesh? He needs a kapara. He committed a chait regarding a nefesh. V'chibeiz a nefesh chata. What nefesh was he chote in? What does that mean? What is the chait? Tziyaratu menayayin. He sinned against his own soul. He sinned against his soul by depriving himself of wine. And from this, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar makes a kal v'chomer. If someone who is only tziratim and elemen ayayin, one pleasure, just yayin, he's called the chote. I guess the cutting the hair and the tumas meis is not such a great deprivation, but the wine is the great pleasure you've deprived yourself of, and that's enough to be called a chote. Certainly, hamitzar atzim mikol davar, alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, someone who abstains from everything, he fasts unnecessarily, he adopts upon himself elective voluntary fasts, certainly is called a chote. This is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. The Nazir is criticized, it's considered a chet, it's wrong, he needs a kapara for depriving himself of wine, it's wrong to be a Nazir, in general at least, and certainly, a fortiori, that someone who fasts and deprives himself of everything, all of food, certainly is considered a chote. But the truth is, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Shita is not unanimous. The other Gemaras in Nazir, in Tanis, discuss this further. First of all, the Gemara in Nazir asks an obvious question here. If we're criticizing the Nazir for depriving himself of wine, but the Pasuk of V'chiper ala me'asher chata l'nefesh is about a Nazir tamei, both Nazirim bring a carbon chatas, both a Nazir who ends uneventfully and one who becomes tamei, different type of chatas, but they both bring chatos. But the Pasuk of V'chiper ala me'asher chata l'nefesh is specifically about a Nazir tamei. Even a Nazir Tar, according to Elazar HaKapar, is doing something wrong by depriving himself of wine. So why does it say V'chiper ala me'asher chata l'nefesh only about a Nazir tamei? So the Gemara says, really, according to Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, the Gemara Nazir says, a Nazir Tar is also called a chote. Why is the Pasuk written by a Nazir tamei? Ho'il v'shana b'chet. He has sinned a second time. He has repeated his chet. What does that mean, he repeated his chet? So the Pirush that's called Rashi on Nazir, may not be written by Rashi, but the Pirush of Rashi on Nazir, it says that the second chait is, first of all, the Nazirus itself is a chait, he deprived himself of wine. Second, achshav shone b'chait, he should have been careful about tumah, and he became tummy. So now he did a second wrong, now he needs a carbon, asher chata ala nefesh. Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos says that by becoming tummy, he caused the tsar of abstention from wine to increase, because now he has to start his count again. He has to have more days of Nazirus. So now he has multiplied, intensified his tziratim and ayayin. That's why he brings a carbon. I'll call upon him. This is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, that the Nazir is considered a chote, even a Nazir tar, for depriving himself of wine. And he says, kalachomer tanis. The Gemara Maseches Tanis, however, brings a number of different sheetos about tanis. Shmuel says, kalayoshe betanis nikra chote. Someone who takes upon himself a fast, an elective fast, is called a chote. The Gemara explains, that's Rabbi Elazar HaKapar shita. Sovra ki aitana, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, even depriving yourself of wine is considered chet. Certainly depriving yourself of food, yosha betanis, is called a chote. So that's the shita of Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Rabbi Elazar says, no, nikra kadosh. The Nazir is called kadosh. Yosha betanis is called kadosh. Shenemar kadosh yagadol peri. He focuses on the fact that Nazir is called kadosh. And again, it's a kal v'chomer. The Nazir only gave up one thing, yayin, and he's called a kadosh. Certainly one who gives up everything is called a kadosh. So that's an opposite view. Reish Lakish amar nikra chassid. Reish Lakish says he's called a chassid. If this sugya wasn't confusing enough, now we have a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Who's called a chassid? Rashi and Tosfos have opposite approaches here. Rashi says the misana, one who fasts, is called a is called a chassid according to Reish Lakish, while Tosfos says it means someone who treats himself well, someone who takes self-care, shagomel chesed lenafsho. And Mishnah Misana is called a chassid. So Reish Lakish holds one way or another. Either he holds Yoshe B'Tanis is called a chassid, or he holds one who refrains from being Yoshe B'Tanis is called a chassid. Brings a pasuk in Mishle, gomel nafsho, ish chesed. And the Gemara goes on. So we have multiple different opinions. Is a Nazir a Kadosh? Is a Nazir a Chote? Is a Yoshe B'Tanis a Chassid? Is a Yoshe B'Tanis a Kadosh? Is a Yoshe B'Tanis a Chote? Numerous different opinions. How do we paskin? What is the halacha on this machlokas? So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos pretty clearly seems to paskin like Rabbi Lazar Akapar, like Shmuel, that Yoshe B'Tanis and Nazir is called a chote. The Rambam says, a person shouldn't say, since kina, tava, and kavod are such terrible, terrible things, matinas adam and olam, I will be an extreme ascetic, efrosh mehen biyoser, vesrach letara achron, I'll avoid them entirely, I won't eat meat at all, I won't drink wine at all, I won't marry, I'll be a hermit and a Puritan, I won't live in a nice house or have nice clothing, I'll just wear sackcloth and so on. So, like the non-Jewish priests do, gamze derech ra. This is wrong, the Rambam says. Va'aser lelechba. You're not allowed to do this. Someone who does this is called a chote, a sinner. How do we know? Shrei Omer ben Nazir. Torah says about the Nazir v'chiperela me'asher chatal anefesh. Omru chachamim, a Nazir shlopirish elemen ayayin tzarech kapara. The Rambam brings practically word for word Rabbi Elazar Kapar Shita. The Nazir is only abstains from wine, he needs a kapara, certainly one who is monea atzim, we call davar v'davar, lachas kama v'kama, and therefore, the Rambam pretty clearly passes like Rav Lazar HaKapar, like Shmuel, therefore, tzivu chachamim, shlo yimna adam atzmo elam yidvarim, shem nata tar blavad, stick to what the Torah prohibited, v'lo yehi osir atzim b'nadarim, u'v'shvuos, al dvarim ha-mutarim, deyachem asher asir Torah, what the Torah asir is enough, don't go around making more isurim, b'chlal hazeh, elu shemisanim tamid, those who fast all the time, enam b'derach tova. Some of the Mefarshim say fasting occasionally, elective fast is okay, you shouldn't do a tamid. I'll call upon him, the Rambam's language seems to be almost verbatim the language of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. That is how the Rashba understands the Rambam. Somebody asked him why the Rambam paskin like Shmuel. He asked that the Gemara implies that we don't paskin like that. The Rashba has a whole discussion about this, and how should we paskin. He defends the Rambam. He says the Rambam is correct. Lefika, halacha, k'Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. We paskin like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, k'damra Shmuel, k'mosha pasuk Rambam zal. We paskin like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, we paskin like Shmuel, the Yoshe B'Tanis nikrachote, tzir nazir, whose tzir atzim nayayin is nikrachote. The Mefarshim go back and forth on this, trying to understand the Rambam. Lachamishna has an arichus as well, but he also says that he explains why the Rambam concludes this way, that Shmuel and Reish Lakish, we saw Reish Lakish, there are two opposite approaches, Rashi and Tosis. The Lachamishna explains that the Rambam understood, like Tosfos, that the Reish Lakish is saying that the one who avoids Tanis is called a chassid, not like Rashi, one who accepts upon himself Tanis is a chassid. Tosfos understands that Reish Lakish meant someone who refrains from fasting is called a chassid. So the Rambam said, since Shmuel and Reish Lakish both hold like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Lachain Pasuk Rabbeinu Kain, that's why the Rambam paskined like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, like Shmuel, like Reish Lakish according to Tosfos, that Yoshe B'Tanis is Nikrachote, at least if you do it regularly, and that Nazirus, abstaining from wine on a long-term basis, is considered a chote. This is the Pashas of the Rambam. Ramosha Feinstein and a couple of Chuvas, based on a passage in the Bir Hagra, they understand the Rambam differently. The Ramosha says, lo kaimelin k'rozer akapra berebi, and that we don't paskin like him, it's not the Pashas, it's not like, we saw it's not like the Rashba, the early Achronim understood the Rambam, so it's machlokas exactly how to understand the Rambam. But the pashas of the Rambam is, he paskins like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, that the Nazir is called a chote. As opposed to this, we mentioned earlier the Ramban. The Ramban said, Adarabba, the Ramban said, al pi derech hapshat, a Nazir is something we should aspire to. A Nazir needs a kapara for giving up his Nazirus. The Rambam's approach, the Ramban's approach seems to be, like the other opinions in the Gemara, that Nazirus is an ideal, that a Nazir, by default, minasdam, is punished for giving up his Nazirus. He should retain his high madrega. So there are different approaches in Chazal, different approaches in the Rishonim. I'll call upon him. These are the various approaches we have to Nazir in Chazal and in the Rishonim. Now the Gemara in Bava Kamma actually brings Rabbi Elazar HaKapar in as the source for a halacha that a person is not allowed to be chovel ba'atzmo. Ein adam rashoi l'chavel ba'atzmo. person is not allowed to do self-harm. You're not allowed to cut yourself. You're not allowed to injure yourself. And this is the makar the Gemara brings. The makar is from Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, who says that a nazir is a chote even for tiaratim and ayayin. Kal v'chomer is someone who's tiaratim. We call davar like Yosha Batanis. And kal v'chomer is someone who actually cuts himself. The Gemara is talking about humiliation, someone who humiliates himself, degrades himself. And that's the issur of Adam Rashoi Lachvel Ba'atzmo. Ramosha points out, certainly we paskin, the Rambam certainly explicitly paskins, Chovel Ba'atzmo is asur. Even according to Ramosha and the Gon, who learned the Rambam that we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, they do paskin asur l'adam lachvel ba'atzmo. The Rambam must have had another makar, they say, the Ramosha explains, for the isur of Chovel Ba'atzmo. But Chovel Ba'atzmo, everyone agrees, it's halacha psuka, you're not allowed to be Chovel Ba'atzmo. But Nazir and Yosha Batanis, that already is machlokas. And even in the Rambam, Ramosha understands differently from the Kadmonim. Ramosha and the Bir Hagra understand differently from the Rashba and the Kadmonim how the Rambam paskins about Yosha Batanis and Naziris. But Chovel Ba'atmo is definitely Yasser. Now, as we mentioned, the Sugi discusses Chovel Ba'atmo in the context of a person who injures himself. The Mishnah brings a story about a woman who uncovered her hair in order to collect some oil, says that somebody spilled oil in front of her. And there's a whole story about this, but someone spilled oil in front of her, and the Gemara explains that she uncovered her hair, and she then put her hand in the oil to collect the oil, and put her hand and put the oil on her head. Because of the value of the oil, she was willing to uncover her hair. The point of the Mishnah was that originally the man had uncovered her hair, and Rabbi Kiva was mechayev him to pay 400 dinar. The person said, look, he did this experiment. He said, she'll uncover her hair just for a little bit of oil, so why should I be chayev? Rabbi Kiva said, nothing doing. Chovel ba'atzmo afal b'sheina rashoi is pater. Acherim shechovel bo chayav. If she does it, she's obviously not chayev as to herself, but if you do it, you're chayev. But the details of Bava Kamma are not so relevant to us right now. The point is that the Mishnah says, the language of the Mishnah is, chovel ba'atzmo afal b'sheina rashoi pater. That you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Even though you'll be pater, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to be chovel ba'atzmo. The Gemara concludes, ultimately, that that's the shita of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Again, Ramosha says that Ladina, everyone agrees, from a different makar maybe, but what the Gemara says is that the isra of chovel ba'atzmo, mentioned in the Mishnah, chovel ba'atzmo, alf b'sheina rashoi, is pater, and the makar, the Gemara says, the makar is Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, the way he understands Naziris. Tosis points out that this woman was behaving rationally. She wasn't engaged in self-harm and hatred of herself and self-mutilation. She had a very good reason. She wanted the oil. So Tosus actually, in passing, mentions in the context of this Gemara that you see that Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur Afilu Lutzarach. Even if a person has a reason he wants to be Chovel Ba'atzmo, like this woman who was Tuf Chal Rosha, nevertheless, Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur, and that's what the Gemara is discussing here. Ramosha Feinstein has at least three tshuvas in which he discusses this point of the Isser, practical applications of the Isser of Chovel Ba'atzmo. Ramosha repeatedly brings this tosus in all the tshuvas as proof that Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur even Latzarach. Ramosha has one tshuva about donating blood to a blood bank, one tshuva about dieting, and one tshuva about cosmetic surgery to enhance one's appearance. In all three tshuvas, Ramosha points out, even though you aren't doing this in a destructive way, you're not trying to hurt yourself, you have a very logical and constructive and rational reason for doing this. Nevertheless, in all the tshuvas, he points out, at least initially, that Tosus Ashita seems to be that Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur, even if you have a good reason. Just like this woman, the Gemara says, was not permitted to do this, even though she had a good reason. So Ramosha begins all his tshuvas by saying that Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur, even for a good reason. However, there seems to be a major, major contradiction between Ramosha's ultimate positions in the three tshuvas. In the first tshuva, in the tshuva on donating blood, Ramosha is not really sure that it's permitted to donate blood. Ramosha argues, certainly if you can save a Jew who needs the blood right now, it would be mutter. But he's talking about a case that there's no chola right now, they're just preparing blood in a blood bank, who knows if there'll be a chola, who we can be doche isurim for him. So basically, Ramosha is talking about a case we don't have a heter mishum refuah to save another Jew. You're just giving blood to a blood bank, and like they do with manenu to prepare blood. Is that mutter or not? So Ramosha argues on the one hand, chovel ba'atzmo is asur even letzarech. He brings this. He has a pilpul in the sugya. He discusses the various points we made earlier: whether we pass like Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, whether we don't. We certainly pass in chovel ba'atzmo. He brings Tosfos. We pass in Chovel Ba'atzmo is Aser, even Letzarech. He proves it from the Sugya. And then he says, so it should be Aser. If you don't have a heter of helping a Jew, it should be Aser. However, he says, there is a Tam Gadol Shalo Lesser. Despite the fact that I'll pee the basic arguments of Chovel Ba'atzmo, you would think it should be Mutter. Aser, you'd think it should be Aser. Nevertheless, he has a Tam Timater because Ramosha makes a famous argument. In ancient times, they used to do bloodletting, he says. And even though we don't do it today, he says, and the Nishtana, things are different. It's matter of the Rambam, you shouldn't do it that often. Today we don't do it, we don't do it. In time of the Rambam, you should limit it. Today you don't do it, we don't do it at all, he says. But if in the time of Chazal it was good, clearly, he says, and even today it can't be so bad, he says, they only take a little bit of blood, it doesn't hurt that much. Efshir ain lesser, b'chavala zu. Maybe it's not aser. Harotzi lahakel ain limchos b'yabo, kivon shi sfarah gedola. So Moshe holds, basically, donating blood without the concrete benefit of helping a Jew is aser, because of chovel ba'atma afil l'tzarech. Ramosha's, the most he's willing to concede is efshir that it's mutter, harotzi lahakel ain limchos bo, because we have a sfarah t'imater, because basically, it might be therapeutic, and it doesn't hurt that much, but in principle, Ramosha held that in this tshuva, his conclusion is, his basic holding is, that chovel ba'atmo is aser, even if you have a good reason. If it's not, unless it's mamish a heter of helping another Jew, having a good reason for it is not destructive, it's not aser, unless you have these svaras, why bloodletting is mutter, because it's therapeutic. But in general, Ramosha holds like Tosfos, chovel ba'atmo is aser, even l'tzarach. Similarly, this tshuva about donating blood was written in Tishrei Tafshin Chav Gimel, so that would have been 1962. Ramosha has another tshuva, two other tshuvas. One of them was about dieting. The tshuva about dieting was written in Tafshin Lamed, in Av and Tafshin Lamed, so that would be 1970. So he wrote, dieting, he says, certainly if you're doing it for health, he says, that's certainly mutter. Because even though Lutzarech is Asri, he says, but the tzara being sick is worse than the tzara of the dieting. So the net tzara is going to be greater if you get sick. So certainly if you're dieting for medical reasons, that's fine. However, he says, mechuyev to follow the diet if that's what the doctors say, he says. However, he says, women who diet just for body image reasons, so they can mishal noivi yofi to look better, Ramosha is not sure. He refers to his earlier tshuva. He says, even Ramosha says to do actual chavala is aser, even letzarech, like Tosfos says. Ramosha says, though, in both these tshuvas, that he distinguishes between two kinds of tzar. The tzar of actual tzar is aser, even letzarech. The tzar of just giving up a taiva, of not having something you want, like yayin, that, he says, would be mutter letzarech. But real tzar is aser, even letzarech. So he says that if it's just a question of deprivation, you're not having ice cream, you're not having dvarim mesukim, that's like tzirat minayayin. So giving up one tzar, he says, but there's something else you want. You want to have ice cream, but you want to look good. If looking good is more important to you than ice cream, then again, he says the same kind of svara, that the net result is that you're minimizing tzar, so that's mutter. But actual objective tzar, Moshe says, if it's not just deprivation, if it's actually, when it comes to deprivation, he says, either you'll be deprived of looking good, or you'll be deprived of delicious food. So the deprivations can cancel out, they can balance each other out, and you say if the greater deprivation is being deprived of looking good, he says that the Yirmus Ava Yoser for the Harvacha, or for the looking good, the woman, the Hanoah she has from looking good, certainly if she wants to get married, even if it's just Lachave Val Balan, that can cancel out the tzar of the diet. But if it's actual deprivation, he says, not just giving up ice cream, he says, but if you're hungry, if you're actually suffering real tzar, even if you're not going to get sick, he says, that's like chovel begufo. That's like actually injuring yourself. That Ramosha says, I paskened in the earlier tshuva with regard to bloodletting. It's aser, even for tzarech, like Tosfos says. So if the diet involves actual pain of deprivation, not just you don't get your ice cream, but you actually feel hungry and you actually hurt, he says, then Ramosha said it should be aser because of his position. Again, the chovel ba'atmo is aser, even if you have a good reason, even if it's not self-mortification, even for a good reason, it should be aser. Ramosha goes back on that a little bit. He says, again, he says, a limchos biyadon, he has a tzad heter, he says, there is a tzad lesser, but there's also a tzad heter, he says, because even the tzar of hunger is just not having what you want. It's not objective tzar like chovel ba'atzo mamish. So again, Ramosha says, maybe we could say that this is mutter, ein limchos, if a woman wants to diet to look good. But again, fundamentally, Ramosha's basic position in these two tshuvas is the same. that chovel ba'atzmo mamish, cutting yourself, actually hurting yourself objectively, is not mutter, even l'tzarech, because of the shita of Tosis, that's the point of the sugya, that chovel mamish, not just deprivation, but chovel mamish is usur, even l'tzarech. However, immediately following this tshuva, in Igros Moshe, Choshen Mishpat Beis, the dieting tshuva Samachay, in Simon Samach Vav, it was actually written 6 years earlier, in Adar Tavshin Chav Dalet, in 64, there they get Rosh has a famous tshuva about a woman, a girl, who wanted to engage in cosmetic surgery to look better so she can get married more easily. So here, Ramosha starts the tshuva the same way, that according to Tosfos, he says, Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur, even Litzarech, even though we don't pass like Bakapara, but still, we do pass in Chovel Ba'atzmo is Asur, he says, and Chovel Ba'atzmo, Tosfos says, is Asur, even Litzarech, at least with regard to real tsar, now maybe the tsar of deprivation not, but at least real tsar is Asur, even Litzarech, so it should be Asur, Ramosha says. So far, he starts the tshuva exactly like his other two tshuvas, that Chovel Mamish, cutting yourself with a knife, should be Asur, even Litzarech, and therefore it should be Asur. However, for the rest of the tshuva, Ramosha turns around and he's Matar, based on the Rambam. The Rambam, when he brings the prohibition of Chovel Ba'atmo, the Rambam's language is that you can't strike someone else, or yourself, you can't hit someone derech nitzayon, in a hostile, combative way, or derech bizayon, some have the girsa, in a degrading way. So the Rambam implies that the Isser of Chavalah is not just an absolute Isser, it depends on the context, the social context. If it's only Isser, derech nitzayon or bizayon, Be'uvda zu, Ramosha says, in the case of plastic surgery, it's in order to make her look good, it's not derech nitzayon or bizayon, it's not Isser. That's even with regard to hitting somebody else, he says. Certainly, the same thing applies with hitting yourself. If it's liapos, it's not derech nitzayon or bizayon, then it would be mutter. And for the rest of the tshuva, Ramosha brings proofs to this, from proofs to the Rambam, from the sugya. He has a long pilpul. He goes back and forth on this, and he comes out, v'lachay nire, sheyesh lahatir lanar liapos atma, even aide chavala, taking a knife, cutting into herself, the doctor doing it. It's not derech nitzayon to be zayin. That's his psak el adrabu l'tavasa. That's Ramosha's tshuva. So he started the tshuva by bringing Tosfos that chovel ba'atmo is aser even l'tzarech. But then he's matir because of the sheet of the Rambam, which he brings rayas to, that it's only aser derech nitzayon or bizayin. It sounds like he's saying the Rambam is cholik on Tosfos when he paskins like the Rambam. Tosfos says l'tzarech is aser. The Rambam says as long as it's not nitzayon and bizayin, it's mutter. So I don't understand at all why in his earlier tshuvas. One of them was written actually later. The tshuva on dieting was actually written in Tavshin Lamed, 6 years after the tshuva on plastic surgery. So even the tshuva on plastic surgery, even though he brought Tosfos that Letzarech is Asur, he ended by saying, but the Rambam says it's not Asur, and the Ikar is like the Rambam. Yet in his earlier tshuva about bloodletting in Tavshin Chaf Beis, and his later tshuva in Tavshin Chaf Gimel, and his later tshuva on dieting in Tavshin Lamed, in both those tshuvas, he didn't even bring this diuk from the Rambam. Certainly the woman who diets is not derech nitzayon or bizayon. A man who donates blood is not derech nitzayon or bizayon. And yet he completely ignores the diuk from the Rambam. He just paskins like Tosfos that it's aser even l'tzarech. I don't know how we can reconcile these tshuvas. It's possible that Ramosha held that it's machlokas, Rambam and Tosfos, and it's possible he held that dieting for body image reasons is a bit of a frivolous reason. It's not such a great tzarech. Even though he says a woman has great tzar, it's not such a need as it is a woman who really feels unattractive and can't get married because she has a defect. It's possible her emotion was only being sumach on the Rambam because he felt it was much more of a need for the woman to fix a disfigurement. But the case of the donating blood to a blood bank, and the case of, which he anyway said, there's makom lahakel, and the case of the dieting, there was makom lahakel, he said, ein limchos biyadin, he says in those cases, but there's not a heter barer because he didn't feel the need was so great. So he didn't bring in this diuk from the Rambam, but still, it's still hard to understand. He should have brought the Rambam, he should have discussed it. So I don't really understand how to reconcile these tshuvas of Ramosha. One final area of discussion, the sugya of chovel ba'atmo and deprivation in particular, comes up in the context of smoking. Both smoking tobacco and smoking drugs, marijuana, other drugs. So tobacco is something that has been discussed by the poskim for more than 300 years, since the 17th century, the time of the Knesset Gdola and the Darkei Noam, Svardik poskim from more than 300 years ago. And marijuana has begun to be discussed in the last 50 years or so. Ramosha had a tshuva about it, and then contemporary Rabbanim discuss it. Vice, this is what we call vice, smoking, alcohol. Alcohol is an early vice. Alcohol is the subject of our parsha and Nusso, and then modern vices, smoke, tobacco, marijuana, and so on. So what is the Torah's attitude toward vice? Is vice acceptable? Is vice, we've seen some, Rabbi Elazar Kapper says, depriving yourself of alcohol is chote. Yayin is misameach elokim v'adam. Why should you deprive yourself of alcohol? In moderation, as the commercials go. Wine can be, alcohol can be enjoyed responsibly in moderation. If you deprive yourself of it totally on a permanent basis, you're a chote according to many poskim. That's the pashas of the Rambam. One could argue the same thing should apply to tobacco or even marijuana. Assuming that they can be enjoyed responsibly in moderation, then you can argue not only is it mutter, you're even a chote if you deliberately swear off things like tobacco and marijuana and drugs. The counter argument, of course, is also from our pasha, chovel ba'atmo is usser. To injure yourself is certainly usser, and kolshkein to endanger your life. Drugs can kill you. Cocaine, heroin, tobacco. Tobacco will kill you. Cocaine will kill you. Heroin will kill you. So certainly drugs that are dangerous are going to be usser. So the question is, how do we deal, what is the Torah's approach to recreational drug use? Does it fall into the category of being tziratim and ayayin, and therefore it's wrong to deprive yourself of drugs? Or do we say that on the contrary, drugs are dangerous? There are other reasons why you shouldn't engage in drugs. As we said, tobacco was discussed by the poskim for more than three centuries. The discussion has nothing to do with danger until relatively recently, or anything to do with addiction or danger or anything like that. The discussion was about two issues. Can you smoke on Yom Tov? Havara is mutter l'tzarech, tzarech ochel nefesh, mitoch shot l'tzarech, chot shalol l'tzarech, but it has to be davra shava l'chol nefesh. So the post can have technical discussions of whether smoking on Yom Tov is included in the heter of ochel nefesh. And the other discussion, the flip side of the coin, is can you smoke on fast days? Fast days in general, Tisha B'Av in particular, you obviously can't smoke on Yom Kippur because you can't use fire on Yom Kippur, but can you smoke on Tisha B'Av, on other fast days? So for hundreds of years, that's what the poskim debated. Is it like Achila? Is it like Hana? That's Asur on Tisha B'Av? Is it considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh? Is it Mutter on Yom Tov? That was the discussion for several centuries, until the 70s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s in particular, where the poskim began to understand, the world began to understand how dangerous smoking was, how it'll kill you, tobacco smoke. So increasingly, poskim began to take stricter and stricter positions until today. There's a pretty strong consensus of poskim that tobacco smoking is usher because it kills you, and you can't do that. Ad kedei kach, some poskim have gone so far as to rule that someone who smokes is pasul eidus for being a Russia who's disregarding the Torah's command to preserve life. Even if you don't go that far, poskim are generally opposed to smoking because it will kill you. Rav Moshe Feinstein was one of the famous poskim who discussed smoking, has a series of tshuvas from the 60s and 70s on until the 80s when he passed away. He never quite came out and said smoking was usher. He discussed Shomer Psoim Hashem, certainly someone who's already smoking. He discussed smoking in a public place, which will bother other people, which he said you can't do. He never quite came out though and said that smoking is absolutely usher. Some have argued that if faced with the evidence we have today, he would have. But the bottom line is, Ramosha never came out entirely and prohibited smoking on the grounds of danger. Presumably, again, because the danger wasn't as sharply known and smoking was more common, so the arguments of Shomer Psoim Hashem were more applicable. But the question is, what about the discussion of our parsha, about Tziratzim and Ayayin? Is it good to deprive yourself of, assuming that you believe smoking is harmless? Is it appropriate to smoke? Because why should you be Tziratzimo from a harmless pleasure if you believe it's harmless? Is it appropriate not to smoke? Because why kedoshim to you? Why should you get involved in something which you don't need? So Rav Moshe himself touches on this in one of his tshuvas. Rav Moshe writes in one of his tshuvas, even though it's not strictly usher, he says, in Igros Moshe, Chelik Bey, Sof Siman Ayin Vav, he says, even though it's not strictly usher, he says, but Vaday min Haroy L'Chalish, everyone, particularly Bnei Torah, he says, should not smoke. There is some element of danger, even if it's not enough to usher entirely, and there's Ein Bazeh Shum Toeles, there's no benefit. And there's no hana if you're not used to it, he says. You pick up a cigarette for the first time, you don't particularly enjoy it. And Meili says, Vada, you should not start smoking, he says. A person shouldn't allow his young children to smoke. Even if he's already addicted and habituated, he shouldn't let his kids start smoking. And even without sakana, he says, you can aser it. It should be aser anyway, he says, without sakana. Why? The motion makes a very novel argument. Davada ein laham shechatmo l'ribuye taivos v'hanos. A person certainly shouldn't bring upon himself excessive taivas and hanos. A person shouldn't indulge in things he doesn't need. A person should limit the hana that he has. Not so easy to understand why it's different from alcohol. Alcohol, certain times it's a mitzvah, arba kosos, kiddush, avdala, but recreational alcohol use, poskim never prohibited, and adrab, it's wrong to deprive yourself of wine. The Rambam seems to paskin, and the Gemara seems to say, according to some opinions. So Ramosha doesn't really explain why tobacco should be any different from alcohol. If alcohol was never seen as something that your person, again, the Ramban says Nazirus isn't ideal, but many opinions say not. So it's not clear why Ramosha thinks it's usher to start getting involved in tobacco smoke. And again, as we pointed out, for hundreds of years, poskim discussed tobacco, and no one ever said it was usher because of, you shouldn't be misragel for taivas ba'anos, Ramosha. Several hundred years after Poskim began discussing tobacco, came up with the svara that a person shouldn't be mamshich and margil himself to taivas v'hanos. Okay, but that's where Moshe said that itself is a reason yesh lesser. Earlier he says min haroi, especially for Bnei Torah. Later in the Tshuva he says yesh lesser. It's osir to start doing new taivas that you don't need. That's where Moshe said that the person shouldn't start smoking because you don't need it. There isn't a chashash takana, and you don't need it, so why start on a taiva that you don't need? Ramosha amplifies on this in a famous tshuva on marijuana. This is actually written relatively early, this tshuva. His tshuva on marijuana was written in Iyar Tufshin Lamed Gimel, so that was in 1973. He talks about a certain bachrim in a yeshiva was starting to smoke hashish, marijuana, he says. Is it mutter? Ramosha's tshuva is still, as far as I know, the one major tshuva on recreational drug use in the poskim. It was written about 50 years ago, but it's still the, as far as I know, the most important, most significant discussion of recreational drug use in halacha. Ramosha says, "Pashut shu davar aser mikama ikre dinim shebetara." It's absolutely aser for many halachas. Why? First of all, it's mekalkel, mechales aguf, damages the body, destroys the body. Even if you find some healthy people, he says, it doesn't really harm them. Mekalkalas hadas, it damages the intellect. He can't understand things properly. That's even more serious, he says, because he can't learn Torah properly. And besides that, he can't do tefillah and mitzvahs properly. But without das, he says, he can't be mekayim mitzvahs properly. Furthermore, he says, similar to what he says about tobacco, he says, your gorim taiva gedola, arousing in yourself a new taiva, a great taiva, he says, it's even more than the taiva of achila. That you need, he says, and some people can't control their taiva. That's a very serious issue, he says. That's the idea of Ben Sarah Ramara, that he's punished for indulging in his taiva. Certainly to bring yourself into such a terrible taiva that you don't even need, he says, and so on and so on. Also, he says, you cause great anguish to your parents, he says, when you take drugs. Your parents are very upset. You violate Kibra Ava'im. It's also an Isser of Kedoshim Tiyu, as the Ramban explains, Kaddish Asach HaBamutrlach, that Kedoshim Tiyu means beyond the Isurim of the Torah, you should not indulge and engage in things that are not necessary, and you also cause many other Isurim. Sof Davar, hu Pashut, hu Barur, shu me Isurim Chamurim. It is Pashut and Barur, Moshe wrote 50 years ago, that it's from the most serious Isurim. A person has to Lishtadl b'chol ha'yecholes, to strive his utmost, lahavir tumazu mikol b'nei Yisrael, to get rid of this tuma from all of Israel, and certainly from those who learn in yeshivas. Ramosha was emphatic, uncompromising, that you violate many, many surim chamurim by smoking marijuana, and everyone must strive to eradicate it from the Jewish community, and particular from the yeshivas. And this has been the position till today. We in the last few years, as American society moves toward legalization or decriminalization, many rabbanim have issued very stern rulings and warnings against smoking marijuana. That's one of the most common controversial questions. And there was remarkable unanimity and consistency, a consensus among Rabbanim and Poskim, that recreational drug use is against the Torah and is usher. The problem is that there doesn't seem to be any clear, compelling reason for why it's usher. All of Ramosha's reasons are very much debatable, some on factual grounds and some on halakhic grounds. Ramosha argues that it destroys the guf. I mean, some drugs do, certainly cocaine and heroin do, but marijuana does not. You know, there's a limit to how much evidence we have. As one of the researchers remarks in a paper, it's hard to do good studies on marijuana while it's illegal, and we can't do controlled studies. Give a bunch of kids marijuana, tell a bunch of kids not to take marijuana and see how they do in school. Can't really do experiments like that. But there's been study after study, again, not as much as tobacco, which was legal, but the evidence is far from clear. Again, harder drugs are obviously much more serious, but the evidence is far from clear that marijuana has serious health consequences. There's some mixed evidence, but tobacco for centuries, for tobacco for decades, there was a lot of evidence where Moshe refused to ask for tobacco. Chashash takana Hashem. Maybe tobacco, he was more lenient, koshomer psoim Hashem. It was more socially acceptable than marijuana. But the harms of marijuana are significantly less than smoking. For that matter, they're less than alcohol. Alcohol is a scourge in society. Alcohol causes terrible, terrible problems. And of course, the poskim don't condone reckless and irresponsible alcohol use. But they do generally condone moderate, controlled alcohol use. So the question is, why can't you be moderate and controlled recreational use of recreational marijuana? It doesn't have to kill you, and if used responsibly, it doesn't. It's not at all clear. Ramosha's first argument that it's dangerous, that's a factual question. We have to see whether it's really dangerous, and the evidence is far from clear. Ramosha doesn't give any sources. He just says it damages you and destroys you. He says it's makalkel the das. Certainly, while you smoke marijuana, your mind may not be so clear, but that's true for alcohol as well. While you drink a lot of alcohol, your mind is not clear. After it wears off, you can think again. The question is there permanent IQ loss? There have been studies about this. It's not clear that there's permanent IQ loss. There's been studies on marijuana in teenagers. Some studies have shown a loss of a few points of IQ, but then they said it's not clear if there's a causal relationship. They did a study involving twins, where they had twins, one of whom smoked marijuana and one didn't. And yes, marijuana caused an IQ loss, but the same IQ loss was manifest in the other twin, which indicates that it has more to do with social circumstances that lead to marijuana, familial instability or other things, and less to do with marijuana itself. So it's far from clear that marijuana necessarily has these physical effects, like everything else in halakha. That's a question to ask the scientists. Ask the researchers. Find out what the best science is. If indeed it's considered significantly harmful, then it's problematic. If it's not so harmful, then maybe not. If the evidence is unclear, then we have to discuss what to do in terms of precautionary principles, what to do if we don't have enough evidence yet. Most of the scientists seem to agree that more research is called for, which is hard to do, again, because until marijuana is legal. Ramosha's other argument, similar to the one he made about tobacco, that you're being gorim taiva gedola, you're inciting, you're arousing a new taiva. Ramosha made the same argument about cigarettes. So no one really prohibited cigarettes, though, until they realized how dangerous they were. The fact that it's a new taiva that you don't need, no one except Ramosha really ever came out with a prohibition against cigarettes on the grounds that it's an unnecessary taiva. Even Ramosha may have only meant it because he was worried about sakana as well. For hundreds of years, as we said, Poskim talked about cigarettes. Cigarettes were well understood, not cigarettes, but other types of tobacco smoking was well understood. And nobody ever astered because it's a taiva that you don't need. Nobody ever invoked Bensora Ramora because you get addicted. And yes, they understood very well that tobacco smoking was addictive. There's an amazing passage in the Knesset Gedola. He talks about, it is mefursim, he says, this is writing in the mid-17th century. He says, it's mefursim that those who, shosim, those who use tobacco, he says, ein lucha taina gadol mizeh, there is no greater pleasure. Even when there's sakana, he says, the malchus is machrezes, the malchus announces that you're not allowed to smoke, and if you do, you're going to be, you're liable for death and destruction. Mistaknamatsma, they risk their lives, he says. Va'avdi uvda b'nafshayu, they smoke in secret, bein taner v'kirayim. So people need smoking. They need it more than eating, he says. They understood that it was addictive. And nevertheless, they say that his point was that it has to be asur on Tisha B'Av because of this. But the point is they understood it was addictive, and nobody astered per se on the grounds that it's an unnecessary taiva and kedoshim tiyu and you're not allowed to smoke. So this argument that you're not allowed to smoke because of kedoshim tiyu, because it's an unnecessary taiva, again, doesn't seem entirely compelling. The argument, he says, that it causes your parents tsar, that's again a very tricky argument. Is a person mechuyev to run his life in such a way, if he's not overtly disrespecting his parents, but his parents are unhappy with his choices, Is that nichlal kibra vein? That's a famous machlokas going back to the Rishonim. Is a person mechuyev if a parent doesn't want his child to marry a certain person or other things? Is he mechuyev to listen on the grounds that if he disobeys, he'll cause them tsar? That's a big machlokas. Some poskim say that not listening, is considered a violation of yira or a kavod to disobey. Others say no, that you can't contradict him, you can't overtly show him disrespect, but you can do what you want, and if he doesn't like it, that's not your problem. Some poskim say, even according to those who say you don't have to listen, but if it actually causes them tsar, then you're not allowed to do it. Maybe Ramosha is going according to that opinion, that if your parents want you to do something, what if your parents, want you to live in this city as opposed to that city? Are you mechuyev to listen to them? So that's a major discussion. But I'll call upon him, there are many other issurim, Ramosha doesn't say what they are. I'll call upon him, there doesn't seem to be an entirely clear reason for why smoking marijuana has to be usher. The primary reason seems to be because it's dangerous, but that's a factual question. Is it or is it not dangerous? Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in the Nishmas Avram as saying that the anything which is dangerous, Chazal said, you're not allowed to do that. Even if you say it doesn't harm anybody else, why is it anybody's business? The liberal harm principle that the law can only prohibit things that harm other people. That's not the attitude of the Torah. Someone who does this is over an Isser Chamer, and therefore the usage of drugs in any form, he says, is included in this category. But again, that's a factual question. Certainly drugs that harm you and kill you are Usser. Heroin is going to be Usser. Cocaine is going to be Usser. But the question is, marijuana, it's not so clear that it harms you. The science is still, it's not necessarily there. And the post, we're not willing to Usser cigarettes as the science piled up until it was very clear that it was Usser. So, eating a bad diet will kill you. Not getting enough exercise will kill you also. So, how far do you want to go with this? That's anything dangerous you can't do. Marijuana maybe is not so common yet, but if it becomes more common, then maybe we'll go back to Shoram Psalm Hashem, then it'll be like tobacco in the 60s. Hard to know. Many contemporary Rabbanim, as we said, everyone thinks marijuana is Usser. Many contemporary Rabbanim have offered a variety of reasons why it's Usser. People have said, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman has been quoted as saying that it's a stepping stone to hard drugs, which is, from that point, there's no return. That's the gateway drug theory, that even if marijuana is not so bad, other poskim have made similar points that it's a gateway to more serious drugs. Again, that's a factual question. The gateway drug theory is also controversial. It is true that many or most people who end up on cocaine or something hard do start with marijuana, but that doesn't prove correlation is not causation. Someone who's going down a path toward drugs may try lighter drugs first. That's because once you're willing to break a taboo, you might start with a lesser taboo, go on to a greater taboo. It doesn't prove that that marijuana causes cocaine. It just proves that people who are willing to flout societies and the legal conventions will start with something less. It hardly proves that marijuana causes hard drugs. And there's no consensus, apparently, on the gateway drug theory. Is it really true that using marijuana will cause you to move toward harder drugs? It's, again, a factual question. It's not so clear that it does. There's some evidence that it doesn't as much. There's some evidence that in countries where marijuana is legal, then there's less of a clear progression between marijuana and cocaine. The indication may be that when it's illegal, it's part of a continuum. But if it's legal, it's a different category. So the gateway drug theory is also not so clear. And some contemporary Rabbanim have acknowledged that it's not so easy to distinguish between marijuana use and alcohol use. Some Rabbanim have said that alcohol is different because alcohol has a place in Torah, Rabbi Jeremy Weider has said that we have to distinguish between alcohol and marijuana because alcohol is deeply rooted in our Masorah, Ein Simcha L'Basar V'Yayin, marijuana is not. Again, it's not so hard, easy to understand, though, what does that have to do with recreational use? Just because the Torah commands it, but recreational use, why should it be mutter? If you're worried about Kedoshim Tiyu and all that, why should it be mutter? And if you're worried about the danger, alcohol is a terrible scourge. It kills so many people, alcohol. Liver damage, road accidents, destroys families. So some Rabbanim argue that that ultimately the difference is that marijuana is more addictive. Rabbi Moshe Elephant of the OU is quoted as saying that the OU does certify alcohol, he says, because l'chaim is traditional, even in a recreational context, l'chaim is traditional. Everything can be dangerous if misused. A moderate consumption of hard liquor, Rabbi Elephant says, is not a moral or halachic concern. Moderate usage of marijuana, however, is impossible due to its addictive properties. So some have argued, like Rabbi Elephant, that marijuana is fundamentally different because moderate usage is impossible due to its addictive properties. The problem is this is simply not true. Marijuana has some addiction potential. It is less than alcohol and tobacco. There was an article in The Lancet which discussed the harm and dependence liability of 20 drugs. They discussed physical dependence, psychological dependence, different types of dependence. So on the order of things, heroin and cocaine are the worst. On a scale of 1 to 3, they're 3s. Tobacco is right up there at 2.3. Alcohol is 2.3 on the pleasure scale. Cannabis is only 1.9. Psychological dependence, heroin is a 3, cocaine is 2.8, tobacco is 2.6. Alcohol is 1.9 and cannabis is 1.7. Cannabis has less psychological dependence than alcohol. Physical dependence, again, heroin is right up there. Cocaine is lower. Tobacco is 1.8. Alcohol is 1.6. Cannabis is only 0.8. So on various scales, marijuana is less than tobacco, less than alcohol. Capture rates, how many people report to becoming dependent on various drugs? Cannabis is only 9%. Alcohol is 15%. Tobacco is 31.9%. So by various, again, this is one study. This is not necessarily the not necessarily the bottom line, but it's far from clear that marijuana is more addictive than alcohol and tobacco. Alcohol is a terrible, terrible scourge, and yet the kashrus agencies are not willing to prohibit alcohol. They're willing to rail against its misuse and talk about how we should control it and so on. But moderation, like the commercials say. So it's not clear why we have to take such a hard line and flat out ban marijuana in all forms. Again, maybe it's like Ray Weider says, we don't have as much of a mesorah for cannabis. It was never used. It's not mentioned in Tanakh. Yain yisamach levav enosh, and mesameach elokim v'adam, and we do have a mesorah in Tanakh and Chazal about alcohol. They used to give aveilim alcohol to tnu sheikh elovid v'yain lemri nefesh. We have more of a mesorah for alcohol and less of a mesorah for cannabis, so why start with cannabis? And we need it for Shabbos and for Purim and for Pesach, we need alcohol. But at the end of the day, on objective grounds, it is very difficult to understand why the poskim are so unanimous that marijuana has to be usher. Again, Ramosha said 50 years ago, Ramosha ruled that it's absolutely usher from Kama Yisurim Chamurim, and that does seem to be the consensus of everyone I've seen who wrote on the topic. But it's an interesting question to discuss objectively. Why is it so clear that marijuana actually is usher according to the Torah?
The Beis Havad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultations, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.